Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I almost started the show with this story yesterday, and then, of course, never got to it at all throughout the entire Monday morning show. But, yeah, here we go. This was some of the Montana news over the weekend. Wasn't that big in news, of course, but it was in the news nonetheless. Probably something worth folks knowing about here. So the Montana Democrats, they had their statewide convention over the weekend, and they met in Livingston. I don't even know if anybody in Livingston even knew that they met in Livingston, but they met in Livingston. The Montana Democrats met in Livingston, even as they erode the voice and the political power of people in Park County and in Paradise Valley in particular. I'll bet you they had a bigger turnout at the Park County Lincoln Reagan dinner. It looks like they had a great event with some great speakers from what I saw, by the way, on X and Facebook and elsewhere over the weekend. But yeah, apparently the Montana Democrats elected a new chair over the weekend. I saw this news thanks to Jake Eaton, our friend Jake Eaton, conservative political consultant, who's guest hosted the show here from time to time as well. He actually shared it was a post by Jonathan Ambarian, who is the Capitol reporter for some of the TV stations here. Anyway, Montana Democrats State Convention in Livingston, where delegates selected Shannon O'Brien as the new party chair. She is a Democrat state senator from Missoula. Anyway, Jake Eaton said this. He says, "I'm sure electing a chair who lost her own statewide race by 20 points will help them win more races in the future." Comedy, he calls it. What else did he say here? Oh, yeah, so apparently she beat out a guy by the name of Mike Jopek. I don't know if you guys have heard of Mike Jopek or not, but he's basically a far-left Democrat activist. He was really buddy-buddy with former Democrat Governor Brian Schweitzer and also a former liberal Senator John Tester. And he's written a column for one of the newspapers in the Flathead where he always pretends to be this moderate, independent guy. And it's like, dude, you were the treasurer for the Montana Democrat Party or something like that. Like, you're no moderate guy. But, of course, you know, copy-paste print media, you know, allows him to get away with it. But anyway, Jake Eaton said this. He says, "I guess that says a lot about how little influence John Tester and Brian Schweitzer have left in the party. They both endorsed Jopek, and he lost huge." Yeah, apparently Shannon O'Brien got 112 votes out of 160. So there you go. Yeah, I forgot that she was the nice woman from the times that I've met her before. But yeah, she lost the state superintendent of public instruction race by 20 points, much like all the other Democrat statewide candidates last year who pretty much all lost their races by 20 points. She also lost her race by 20 points. And that's who the Democrats have now put in charge of the Montana Democrat Party, a Missoula Democrat. And if you guys haven't met a lot of the Missoula Democrats, they are very, very, very far left. So the party is showing no signs of moderation anytime soon, even in the midst of all the crazy news out there. All right, lots to talk about this morning here on the show. Of course, we got phone lines open for you and a great guest coming up after the Farm and Ranch Report later.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover and some scattered showers and a few thunder showers around the area as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will range from around 70 in Bozeman as well as Billings. For tonight, some scattered showers, thunder showers possible, mainly early on. Temperatures will drop back off into the mid-50s. And then the outlook for Wednesday calls for partly sunny skies. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The U.S. Army displayed the mid-range Typhon missile system in Japan for the first time Monday as part of the Resolute Dragon military exercises, which involve almost 20,000 American and Japanese troops. U.S. Army Colonel Wade German discussed the importance of the Typhon system, which can fire missiles from Japan that could reach China's eastern coast.
Integrating this system into Resolute Dragon affords us the opportunity to conduct tough and realistic training.
The colonel also praised the Typhon's versatility.
It is able to be deployed remotely and through deployed through sea craft and aircraft.
And said that versatility is an advantage.
It is able to create dilemmas for the enemy.
The Typhon has also been deployed in the Philippines and Australia. Its arrival in Japan comes as the Japanese deal with potential nuclear threats from China, North Korea, and Russia. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
You know, there is something about standing alongside fellow patriots. There is something about being amongst warriors. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got to be amongst some great patriots and warriors over the past few days. The UM military alumni reunion, 9/11 ceremonies across the state. But the reality is every day here with Montana Talks, we're amongst some incredible warriors. You, some incredible patriots. You can call in statewide right here, 9 to 10.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I don't know if you guys get a chance to watch or listen at all to Vice President J.D. Vance guest hosting the Charlie Kirk Show yesterday. I got a chance to listen to a big chunk of it, so definitely want to get to some highlights here this morning. Several highlights to get to here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But one conversation we're going to have come up here in just a few minutes. Pastor Kenneth Whalum is with Mount Olivet Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee is, of course, big focus for President Donald J. Trump, and the crime in Memphis, Tennessee, in particular. A big focus for President Donald J. Trump. Like a lot of Democrat-run cities, like a lot of blue-run cities, you're seeing crime run rampant. And so anyway, we're going to chat with Pastor Kenneth Whalum coming up here in just a few minutes on the show. Well, in fact, since we got a pastor coming up, why don't we start with some of the highlights of Vice President J.D. Vance guest hosting the Charlie Kirk Show yesterday. Of course, the Charlie Kirk Show is a product of Salem Media and Salem Communications. And, of course, we as Montanans have some good friends that work for that incredible organization. But anyway, I thought this was the most powerful soundbite from Vice President Vance filling in on the Charlie Kirk Show yesterday, where he talks about what we can do, what you can do, what everybody can do to truly punish this assassin of Charlie Kirk.
I can't promise you this is going to be easy. I can't promise you that all of us will avoid Charlie's fate. I can't promise you that I will avoid Charlie's fate. But the way to honor him is to shine the light of truth like a torch in the very darkest places. Go do it. We owe it to our friend to ensure that his killer is not just prosecuted but punished. And the worst punishment is not the death penalty, but the knowledge that Charlie's mission continues after he's gone. St. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians to put on the full armor of God. Let all of us put on that armor and commit ourselves to that cause for which Charlie gave his life, to rebuild a united States of America, and to do it by telling the truth.
All right, what a great message there from Vice President J.D. Vance, basically making the point that, look, if you truly want to punish this assassin, look, I'm one of those who believe that this assassination, once found guilty, should be not just prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, but punished to the fullest extent of the law. And the fullest extent of the law in the state of Utah is the death penalty. This was a terrorist political assassination on American soil by a radical, violent leftist in the midst of radical, violent leftism that is on the march all across America. Go ask House Majority Leader Steve Scalise. Go ask President Trump, who narrowly survived an assassin's bullet. But if we truly want to punish this assassin, you know what we do? We go out and we help promote and we help donate if you can to these Turning Point USA chapters that are turning on new campuses all across the country. But not only that, but we stop ignoring city council elections every off year. We stop ignoring school board elections every off year. We stop ignoring midterm elections every off year from a big presidential race or a big Senate race here in Montana or whatever. In fact, it's not just school boards and city councils that, by the way, the left has been winning of late here in some of Montana's major towns. It's every single board you could be a part of. If you are a farmer, it's being involved in a farm bureau or a stockbroker and getting in on those boards and those organizations. And another powerful message, you know, or things like that. Pick your industry, pick your association, pick your organization, and get involved in that association, because I'll guarantee if there's some left-leaning person that's a member of that organization, I will guarantee you, they are wedging their way into these boards, into these associations. You wonder how the cultural Marxist left took over so many American institutions and caused so much harm in this country and moved us away from being the great republic that we are. It's because the left, look back at what AOC and Bernie Sanders said in Missoula, Montana earlier this year. It doesn't matter how big they lost, doesn't matter how big Montana Democrats lost in last year's election. What did AOC say? She said, we're going after school boards. We're going after city councils. And what did a bunch of Trump supporters say? Yeah, we're good. Trump's got it. And they stayed home. And they stayed back. And they ignored city council. And they ignored county commission in some cases. And they ignored school board elections. And then they wonder why you still have radical transgender activists trying to put men into girls' locker rooms and men into girls' bathrooms, which is against the law, by the way. And if these schools do it, they could lose federal funding, as Jeff Lasloff at the Montana Family Foundation pointed out. So again, take Vice President J.D. Vance's words to heart here. If you truly want to punish the assassin who took out this incredible American civil rights icon, this incredible American patriot, this incredible American Christian, this incredible American father, Charlie Kirk. If you truly want to punish this assassin, then maybe you're not the one sitting back, but talk to the people that are sitting back and saying, guys, you can't sit this one out. They are coming after every fabric and every layer of American society to turn this country into something else. And we know that something else is not a good outcome. So turn out, turn up. Anyway, back after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress wasn't in session in August, but the Epstein files certainly were. The Epstein files dominated Congress before the summer recess, but when lawmakers returned to Capitol Hill, the first thing lawmakers wrestled with were, again, the Epstein files. Note, if you want something to go away, don't make it among the first orders of business. The Epstein issue gurgled through the summer, and House Republicans did little to tamp down the embers by adjourning the body a day early in July. That's because they struggled to pass unrelated bills without delving into a complicated and sticky discussion of the Epstein files. Then when the House returned, House GOP leaders immediately prepped a resolution to formally bless an Epstein investigation by the Oversight Committee. The panel released some 32,000 pages of Epstein-related documents. Just hours after returning to session, House Speaker Mike Johnson and others met with Epstein accusers. Tangling with the Epstein matter could even start to impact the ability of the House to wrestle with routine legislation once again. And so the Epstein saga continues, the same as it was before the August recess. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Mike. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network. Till Tuesday morning, I'm Wayne Nordlund. As the spring wheat harvest continues to move ahead 9 percentage points last week, it reached 94% complete as of Sunday. Now that's 3 percentage points ahead of last year's pace of 91% and 2 points behind the 5-year average. Minnesota and South Dakota are both 100% wrapped up, while North Dakota is 92% harvested, and what was left of the Montana crop, which was not great, is at 93%. Booking to the 2026 winter wheat crop, the planting jumped ahead 6 points on Sunday to reach 11% complete nationwide. Washington's winter wheat planting is the furthest along at 50%, with South Dakota second at 23%, followed by Colorado at 20%. As for the corn harvest, it moved ahead 3 points Sunday to reach 7% complete nationwide. USDA NAS estimates that 67% of the nation's corn crop was in good to excellent condition, down 1 point from the previous week. Don't go too far. You're listening to the Western Ag Network.
Cattle producers, this Friday, September 19th, is Montana Livestock Auction's Cream of the Crop 2 sale, and they're expecting 2,000 head of yearlings and calves off cows. Already on the books, 40 head of mixed yearlings weighing 7 to 800 pounds, 72 head of Black Angus mixed calves with all their shots weighing 4.5 to 500 pounds, and 600 head of black steer calves, all shots weaned, coming in at 700 pounds. Sale time is 9 a.m. To check out all the consignments, visit Montana Livestock Auction.
Forage grown with in-soil algae at Reminis Ranch has shown verified increases in vitamin A and E by 162% and 68% respectively. Algae-treated pasture has boosted conception rates, improved immune health, and increased steer weight, enabling a significant reduction in mineral supplements and chemical fertilizer. In-soil algae and Reminis Ranch, healthy soils for better beef and healthier people. Find us at remangus.com.
It has definitely been an impressive summer run for the cattle video sale season, and it is close to wrapping up. Yesterday, Northern Livestock Video Auction hosted its fall premiere sale, and prices for feeder cattle were continuing to see strong prices. We also saw an early test for what bred cattle are bringing as well. Northern Livestock Video Auctioneer, Ty Thompson.
A solid and broken mouth cows, and they'd bring from 2,900 to 3,200. So that market was real good with a lot of demand. There's probably more activity on the mid-age and older cows because we're dealing with guys in the Midwest that have feed, where the guys buying the young cows, I think a lot of them aren't ready to buy the cows yet. You know, they don't have the calf checks in the bank. They don't know what their needs are yet, but it was still good.
Commercial bred heifers averaged over $4,226 a head, with the range anywhere from $3,600 all the way up to $5,000 a head.
And then we had those outstanding sets, of course, those Denny Top heifers out of South Dakota. Started out with the F1 Black Baldies, three or four lots of them bring $4,900 to $5,000. And the kicker to those heifers, they're tremendous, tremendous quality and genetics and years of it, but they deliver the end of this month and brought $4,900 to $5,000. Then the straight black heifers, kind of $4,400 to $4,500 on those. We had those Jocko Valley registered type heifers, they bring into the mid fives. But the lion's share of the heifers, as long as they had some quality, would trade right around that $4,000 to $4,150 money, and there was good demand all the way through.
And today, from Ogallala, Nebraska, at the Haythorn Ranch, Western Video Market will hold their sale. Again, things get underway with the auction starting at 9 a.m. Visit WVMCattle.com to watch that sale. On my Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we are probably going to roll right through the Fox News update and skip that for you here this morning, because we've got a great guest joining us live right now on the phone lines, Pastor Kenneth Whalum with the Mount Olivet Baptist Church, Memphis, Tennessee. You're going to be hearing a lot about Memphis, Tennessee over the next few days, because that is where President Trump is focusing on next to tackle the nation's crime problems, especially in these blue-run cities. Pastor, an honor to have you on the show this morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Flint. It's the new Olivet Worship Center in Memphis. We are fully committed to trying to do what we can to restore law and order.
Tell us just what it's, I've got some numbers in front of me here that I could share, but just from the on-the-ground perspective, what is the crime like in Memphis right now, and what do you think about President Trump's efforts to try to tackle it?
I appreciate the president's efforts. I have been calling for the National Guard for a couple of years now, since before President Trump got in office, because the crime is, as far as I'm concerned, untenable with regard to the safety of our children. You asked what the condition is on the ground right now. I can give you a couple of real-time examples. About 5 months ago, two teenage children who happened to be black were murdered, shot down in front of their high school by two other young black teenage students. That's sort of what we're dealing with. And then last Sunday night, four children, one age three, age six, and two 15-year-olds, were shot inside their home, Aaron, on a Sunday night. And then this past Sunday, stop me when you get tired of hearing it, this past Sunday, two, again, young shooters fired AR-style weapons at a car that was passing by in the broad daylight. So even if the statistics say crime is going down, real crime is, whether it's going down or not, I think the people's fear level is going up.
Well, and who's in control of those crime statistics at the local level? We heard a little bit about what was and wasn't happening in Washington, D.C., so what could be happening in these other blue-run cities as well? I saw this from Rapid Response 47 on X. They just shared this yesterday out of the President Trump's communications team here. In 2024, Memphis's murder rate was four times higher than Mexico City, 27 times higher than Havana, and 37 times higher than London. Now, people might say, oh, well, London, well, that's not bad, unless you've heard about the fall of London in recent years. Those are some very bad numbers.
Yes, you mentioned those cities, both nationally and internationally, but you mentioned one seven-letter word that makes this situation particularly unique and promising, I believe. And that seven-letter word is Memphis. Man, Memphis, as the place where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, is the ideal location to show the world how the government can work with local leaders and religious leaders to bring peace to the streets of the people of the city. I think we have an excellent opportunity.
I was telling you before we came out live on the air, one of my favorite college dorm mates, friends from my college years at Howard University in Washington, D.C. I know his real name, but we only called him Memphis. We just called him Memphis, and I always loved it. I always loved it when I'd get back to the dorms and he'd be playing spades, and he'd throw the cards on the table and tell everybody how they got set. And I think he ended up going into law enforcement. I think he ended up going into law enforcement too. But so as we talk about Memphis, I think of him and his family and friends back home.
Well, there's something very unique, as I said, about Memphis. And we have, this morning I've been reading the president's memorandum, and one of the leading paragraphs talks about how Memphis was the home of Elvis and rock and roll and blues. And I think we owe it to the nation and to the world to make this thing work, man.
Well, I totally agree, and I'm so glad to see, what President Trump did for our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and he's working to bring that to Chicago. I spent some time south of Chicago as a kid as well, and I can't wait till we see, more federal law enforcement surge out here to Indian country on our Native American Indian reservations that have been so devastatingly hit by crime as well. Pastor, a couple minutes before the break, and I don't know if you got more time or if you got to run during our next break here, but talk about just what you see going on in the country right now. I think this is beyond political. The assassination of a great Christian like Charlie Kirk, to me, this is much more spiritual warfare that we're seeing in this country, and the targeting of Christians and outspoken Christians in particular. But you might argue that it's the same spiritual warfare facing the streets of Memphis, Tennessee.
That is absolutely true. And it is, I believe, a time that, as I said, we're at a watershed moment in Memphis. And you may not believe this, Aaron, but I personally did not know who Charlie Kirk was until the events of the last several days. And what that means is that we in our nation have too many silos where people are operating to themselves without developing relationships with the people around them. It seems to me that if, man, I'm telling you, man, I have read the memorandum from the president. If you could see the things that are listed in subsection D, that where the president offers and promises to improve quality of life, to assist with graffiti removal, that kind of thing, we have an excellent opportunity to see the good in one another.
Well, Pastor, it's such an honor to chat with you here this morning. Before we hit the quick breaker, but what a great point you made. And I know you're a younger pastor, but I have noticed there's a generational difference. More of the college age kids are more familiar with somebody like a Charlie Kirk. But you know, sometimes in death, you can be even more powerful than you were in life, even as powerful as somebody like a Charlie Kirk was. And I know that's something we're going to be talking about here later this morning. Pastor, any final thoughts? 30 seconds to go to the break.
I'm looking forward to working with our mayor, Paul Young, in accepting the assistance of 12 federal agencies, man. 12 federal agencies, the power and authority of those agencies are being brought to bear in the life and future of Memphis and the future of our kids. And I'm looking forward to doing what I can to assist in that.
And, of course, the power of prayer from leaders on the ground like you. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you for what you do, Pastor Kenneth Whalum, Memphis, Tennessee. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. Speaking of Charlie Kirk and the growth now of Turning Point USA and the awareness of Charlie Kirk, we'll talk about that more next.
When you see emergency lights on
plan on flying, it's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID, or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, Charlie Kirk, thousands and thousands of requests are now flooding into the Turning Point USA headquarters following the assassination, the political assassination of the one and only Charlie Kirk. By the way, if you guys missed it yesterday, later on in the 8 o'clock and part of the 9 o'clock hours of the show, we had Representative Braxton Mitchell, state representative out of Columbia Falls, only 25 years old, but he was 18 years old when he first met and started working with Charlie Kirk as a Turning Point USA ambassador. In fact, it was crazy because as I was talking with Braxton Mitchell and he was talking about how about the time that he first met Charlie Kirk, he talked about how he drove from Columbia Falls all the way to Billings, which is, you know, a good, give or take 6.5-7 hours, depending on traffic, everything like that. And he talked about the first time he met him was when Charlie Kirk was with Donald Trump Jr. at that event in Billings. And I was like, I was at that same event because, in fact, actually one of my favorite pictures of my wife Jessica was this photo of her sitting on the couch with Kimberly Guilfoyle, because remember back then Kimberly Guilfoyle was on, she had been on the Five, and they always had the couch on the Five, you know, on the couch with the Five, and Kimberly Guilfoyle was one of the ladies on the Five, so anyway, my wife's like, I'm gonna go sit on the couch with Kimberly Guilfoyle, and then there was Charlie Kirk as well. But I love this photo not only because it's my wife with, you know, Charlie Kirk and Kimberly Guilfoyle, but it's a reminder of the reason we were there, the reason we were in the room with them, is because I got to do an exclusive interview with Donald Trump Jr. when he was here in Montana at the time. And, of course, I've had the pleasure of getting a chance to run into him and have him on the show a few times now. You got to see the smile on all of their faces. I mean, Charlie Kirk, it looks like he's opening a can of pop or a bag of chips or something, and he's just got this big smile on his face. And Jessica was telling me after I brought it up yesterday on the show, she says, yeah, I think, you know, what happened was is you and Don Jr. came out of the other room where you guys were recording the interview, and then Donald Trump Jr. starts telling some jokes, and everybody's just busting up laughing. And so, anyway, it's a great photo. Shared it at facebook.com/Flint Report. I think I even posted it out on X, x.com/Aaron Flint. One thing that I didn't share yesterday is, of course, the one and only Rush Limbaugh. Just like there will never be another Charlie Kirk, there, of course, will never be another Rush Limbaugh. But it's going to be great seeing so many folks try and work towards that. But an ex account named Farm Girl Carrie shared this audio highlight of Rush Limbaugh back in the day talking about the first time that he met Charlie Kirk.
They brought Charlie Kirk to the golf course to meet me about a month ago. He was in town to set up this Turning Point thing. And they brought him to the golf course to meet me. It was during, we were getting ready for a 8:45 a.m. start. And they brought him out while I was getting ready to go to the range to loosen up. And I spoke with him for about a half hour. And he told me how he grew up in a home where my program was on all the time. He was just effusively complimentary to me, which I, of course, understood and told him he's very wise, his family's very wise. He chuckled, he laughed. This is the kind of guy that, you know, you can see really becoming big in politics as he gets older. He just has the carriage, the personality, the charisma. You may think this sounds weird, but I remember when Bill Clinton became president, there were all of these stories about Bill Clinton at Oxford and Bill Clinton at Yale and Bill Clinton here and all these people who went to school with him. There were story after story after story where people were saying that they just knew Bill Clinton was going to be president someday. In college, he just had that kind of ambition, and he impressed people. And I'm telling you, the people are saying the same things about Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, if you ever got a chance to meet him, you'd see it. But some of you who didn't even meet him, you saw it as well. Earlier when I was talking with that pastor, Kenneth Whalum out of Memphis, Tennessee, and we were talking about the crime in Tennessee and what President Trump is doing to help crack down on the crime in Memphis, Tennessee. I talked about, you know, as I hear Memphis being talked about, I thought of my friend Memphis that I went to college with back at Howard University back in the day. But probably like many of you, I also thought of this. And then, of course, you hear that piano, and you hear the song, and then you hear these facts. In 2024, Memphis had the highest violent crime rate, highest property crime rate, and the third highest murder rate in the U.S. Another fact, violent crime in Memphis increased in 2024, 344% higher than the national average. Can you imagine walking in Memphis today? Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, it was great to hear from you in the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, it's always a privilege to be on the air and express ourselves. Thank you, Aaron, for our Montana Talk. You know, I've been with you for, my God, what, 7 years now? I can't believe it.
Like going on eight or nine. Yeah, it's been great.
8 or 9 more, see how? I'd be even behind. Can't remember. I'm on a little bit of Charlie Kirk here. I don't know. Charlie Kirk seemed to me to be a divine providence. He was a gift given to us by a creator. Whether you believe in God or not, but I believe he was a gift, and I'm not going to compare him to Jesus. They were two different men. But I want to talk about the First and Second Amendment. Jesus was executed for his use of free speech that provoked the ancient Romans. And I want to say that Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and also Martin Luther King and now Charlie Kirk were assassinated for the use of the words, our First Amendment. And this is what our founding fathers gave us, the Second Amendment. I believe that they knew that free speech was going to cause arguments and heated arguments between one another to the extent where maybe they would turn into violent events. And all I can say is this, I'm still disturbed over the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But there's something very eerie between Charlie's assassination and the attempt on President Trump's life in Butler, Pennsylvania. They were both shot in the below the ear, in the neck. And I think that's more than peculiar. But I you know, when you think of what's going on here, I don't know. It's just like a message or something above us is telling us something. And I do believe that
it's almost like they targeted his voice in particular, isn't it, Nancy? Like they deliberately wanted to silence his voice. And we'll find out more. Yeah, when we hear about the actual details as the case goes on, right?
Right, but. I think we're coming towards the end of the progressive movement, and because even here in Roundup, people are very, very upset and disturbed over what happened, especially when they see Charlie Kirk's two little girls. And I just want to say that A.F. Branco and Ben Garrison, two of the greatest political cartoonists, have just illustrated some beautiful, beautiful memes. Ben Garrison did one showing Charlie Kirk in heaven, and he's looking down at his two little girls walking on a highway towards heaven, towards him.
Oh, you'll have to send those to me. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I think it's a son and a daughter, if I remember right, but he was always very protective of their faces because of the violent radical left out there, the crazies. Great to hear from you, Nancy. Here is what Kaylee McEnany had to say. Actually, I'll get to Kaylee McEnany. I'm looking at the clock here. Well, let's play a little portion. This is what Kaylee McEnany had to say on the 5 about the suspect, about Charlie Kirk, and more.
I mean, from what I read with CNN's reporting, he had a 4.0 GPA, he had a scholarship, he had a family that was close to him, and then something snapped, and we need to figure out exactly what that is. But I can tell you, as I've watched these images over the last few days, Erica Kirk, her beautiful and moving speech, and then learning about this killer, this assassin, it occurred to me, Charlie Kirk said once that there is a spiritual battle playing out all around us, and you can choose to acknowledge it, or you can choose to ignore it, but it is happening nevertheless, and you see that, what you're looking at now, this, supposed assassin, it's the face of evil. This is a guy who wrote a handwritten note that he was going to take Charlie Kirk out.
All right, we'll pause it right there. The second half of that Kaylee McEnany commentary on the 5 coming up right after this. Phone lines are open for you as well.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They can call him a misogynist, and all he did at Turning Point was promote up-and-coming women. One is a friend of mine, Emma Jo Morris, who he once worked on my TV show and broke the Hunter Biden laptop story. He was promoted, called racist, and yet he sought out and highlighted minorities all the time that worked at Turning Point USA. But really, what he's really called a fascist, if you really want to break it down, is because of Trump derangement syndrome. He supported Donald Trump, and he shared his political beliefs. falsely smeared, called every name in the book, but daring to challenge liberal orthodoxy in this country, and smeared with lies and just outright slander.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, check it out. A new discovery found a massive trove of gold coins in the Czech Republic, minted by a long-lost civilization. It's from before the 2nd century B.C. They also found silver coins among the artifacts. Not only have gold and silver been valued for thousands of years, but they can physically last that long as well. Just another reason why I have partnered with the award-winning company Goldco. I'm also a customer. Now, they sell gold and silver, and they're great at what they do. So if you're ready to learn how gold and silver can help protect your savings, call now 855-815-GOLD. On the web, it's HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You can do your own due diligence and learn how you can get 10% in free bonus silver. It is the best silver offer out there. Don't miss this one. 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. One more time, 855-815-G-O-L-D or HannityGold.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover and some scattered showers and a few thundershowers around the area as we head through the day today. High temperature readings will range from around 70 in Bozeman as well as Billings. For tonight, some scattered showers, thundershowers possible, mainly early on. Temperatures will drop back off into the mid-50s. And then the outlook for Wednesday calls for partly sunny skies. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
So after the tragic news of this terrorist assassination on a great American patriot, Charlie Kirk, I went in and looked at our archives and looked back on our conversation with Charlie Kirk back in the spring of 2020, right before he spoke at an event in Kalispell. And what Charlie Kirk said back then in Kalispell rings even more true today. Check out that story. Go to MontanaTalks.com, or if you've got the Montana Talks app on your phone, you'll see that and more right there.
Tackling the issues that shape our state, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, if I wasn't coming back out on the radio, having to talk on the radio right now, I would be commenting on this guy. So yesterday, I did a write-up on our Montana Talks website based on some of the audio that I shared with you. Montanan weighs in why the racism charge is complete BS. And it was, you know, some highlights of our conversation with a great young man named Stephen Rowe. Grew up in Billings, Montana. His first job at a college at Montana State University was working with the one and only Charlie Kirk in Turning Point USA. And as you heard on the show yesterday, Stephen Rowe happens to be black. So I had to ask him about these BS, absurd, false attacks from these leftists that Charlie Kirk's a racist, you know, just like they call you guys racist and white supremacists, no matter what. That's the same, knee-jerk false attack they throw at somebody like Charlie Kirk. And so Stephen weighed in, had some great comments. And anyway, here's some guy, because not only do I share articles for the Montana Talks website, I'll share it on my Facebook page and elsewhere, but it'll show up on our various other radio station websites and Facebook pages as well. And so some left-winger hopped on the Cat Country 102.9, the Cat Country in Billings Facebook page, and says, well, he may not have been white hood racist, but he certainly spouted some racist BS. And so I gotta share this DailyWire.com piece that exposes this guy for being a nut job. Hopefully it posts on there right. But basically, a liberal Washington Post columnist was just fired because she echoed the same false attack that guy just echoed. So the same liberal BS false attack that this liberal is commenting on the Cat Country page spouting
is what just got a Washington Post reporter fired because she tried to spout that same BS and she tried to quote Charlie Kirk and she misquoted him and she got the quote wrong. She was sharing fake news, and surprisingly enough, even the fake news Washington Post had fired her over that. All right, here is the second half of the Kaylee McEnany soundbite that I started sharing just before the last break, where she was talking about this trans Tifa assassination suspect.
He kills Charlie Kirk, a father, a husband, and then he goes on Discord and jokes about his doppelganger doing it. Who jokes after you've literally slaughtered a man? And that's the darkness. But then there's also a lot of light, and we get very caught up at the people celebrating this, and I'd like to believe they're the few voices, but there's a lot of light out there, too. And I'll just end with this. There's several accounts I've seen, amazing accounts of young people. This guy, big athlete, says, I'm not an emotional guy. I don't cry. But when I watch Charlie Kirk's videos, every time he talks about God, I start to cry. Another young woman said for the first time she opened a Bible. Her in-laws had been encouraging her to do it. She never wanted to open it. And she read a scripture about the truth and the truth setting her free. These stories are huge. They are out there. There is a wave of young people in this country turning toward the light. Erica Kirk is picking up the mantle. She's carrying it forward. And that light will always beat the darkness you were just looking at.
Well said there by Kaylee McEnany. Hey, we'll get to your phone calls coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're too short on time right now this hour. So stick with us on the phone lines or give us a call in a few minutes. We'll get you on the show. Hey, man, it's middle of September now, but the weather's going to be nice this weekend. I'll tell you what, still some great opportunities to get your boats out this weekend in several parts of Montana. Or, hey, great camping season, of course, long through the entire fall season here as well. If you haven't got your camper or your family boat yet, you got to go see our friends at the family-owned Brett's RV and Marine. They've got the largest selection, the largest inventory in a 5-state region, and they're a Montana family-owned business. They got great locations, Billings, Butte, and Missoula, and you can check out their inventory at brettsrv.com, or maybe you want to trade in and trade up. Check them out for that. They'll give you top dollar for your trade-in. Their service department, always incredible as well.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.